It's that time again. It's that time of the day. It's time to eat. No, it's time to have a visit with the food maven, the food maverick, with Arthur Schwartz. Hi, Arthur.
Hi. I don't know how maverick I am, but I'm mavericking myself in that I will confess I have been eating out-of-season tomatoes this year because, I don't know, they're being grown in all kinds of strange places like Maine, and I couldn't resist a Maine tomato a couple years ago, and I found out that they're really good, even in February. But now that we're in July, we're probably going to be getting some local tomatoes any minute. Certainly around here in South Jersey, they're already picking field tomatoes. I got to say, I have not had huge success with local tomatoes in the last few years. I don't find these truly expensive local tomatoes to be any better than the $2.29 a pound ones I've been buying in the supermarket, which continue in the supermarket. They come from those vine ones, you know, the ones
that the ones on the vine, absolutely, little chewy. But they don't always taste that, whatever.
They don't always taste great, okay?
Okay.
I agree, but neither do the ones that they're picking from the fields of South Jersey. And then there are the heirloom tomatoes. Now, I have bought at the farmer's market from a farmer really good heirloom tomatoes, especially those big yellow German ones, which look like they're going to burst any second. And so you eat them the same day you buy them. But if you go to the supermarket, they have what they call heirloom tomatoes, and it could be like double the price of not heirloom tomatoes, and they don't taste any better. So I'm off those. And
okay.
I'm happy with cherry tomatoes when I'm... They come in earlier than the field tomatoes, but, you know, from Jersey or from wherever. You know, you're at least 2 weeks behind us.
At least, but I will say, but the farmers markets that you would frequent, or Union Square or whatever, they mostly came from South Jersey and or the Hudson Valley, correct?
Now South Jersey, later Hudson Valley.
Okay. Because the South Jersey and the cherry tomatoes for the last few years have been fine, flavorful, but the other...
I do love cherry tomatoes, and I do stuff with cherry tomatoes, but I wasn't really going to talk about cherry tomatoes today.
No,
because when I set my mind to let's talk about tomatoes, I couldn't even contain my ideas on one page. So I have a lot to say. But let me say from the start that what makes all of my tomato salad-y things, which I'm going to talk about, possible, is a knife. And I discovered this knife a long time ago. It's called a tomato knife, 5-inch blade. The Wusthof, which is top-of-the-line German knives, the Wusthof version, I looked it up this morning, is $115, almost anywhere you go to buy it. However, I don't have the Wusthof version. I think I did have the Wusthof version at one time. Who knows what happened to it? But what I have now is made by a company called Mercer, M-E-R-C-E-R. And you can get that one, you can order it online for $32. And I've been, you know, this serrated blade knife, 5 inches, as I said, and it has a tip that is very sharp, which is perfect for coring tomatoes. By the way, I use this knife for many other things besides tomatoes, and my dear friend Suzanne Hamlin, who I trust on all these things, passed away 2 years ago. But one of our big talks, a discovery, we hadn't really been in each other's kitchens in a long time, even though, as she used to say, we like to cook tush to tush, she swore by this knife. We talked about it a lot. It is a great all-purpose utility knife, although there are a lot of things you need a longer blade than 5 inches, but it's perfect for tomatoes. Anyway, for $32, it'll change your life.
And my life was changed about 30-some-odd years ago when my friend called me and said, you know, we have to have tomato knives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay. What's a tomato knife? Never mind. Go buy one.
So anyway, I make a whole slew of different tomato salads, which this knife, you know, helps me do. So by the way, to dice a tomato, generally I core them. Sometimes these vine ones don't have much of a core, but I generally core them. I don't peel them, although, you know, when they had harems in Turkey, I call that harem food. You know, like you got to peel all the tomatoes. Okay. You need a lot of people to do that. Anyway, I don't really make an effort these days to dice the tomatoes small. What I do is I cut them in half and then flat side down, cut side down. I cut across into half-inch pieces and then length the other way, half-inch pieces. But I don't bother to cut horizontally because, in fact, the tomato is going to sort of fall apart and you don't want tiny pieces anyway. So that's how I do it. All I have is a tomato, I can make a really terrific salad. And even with mediocre tomatoes, here's the trick. You salt the tomatoes and let them stand for a while. They will give off some of their liquid, which is delicious. Don't toss the liquid, the tomato juice. But it will concentrate the flavor in the tomatoes themselves. It really will improve the taste of the tomatoes. So after they've sat for 15 minutes with some salt, at that point I add some good olive oil, and then I make decisions. Now, what am I going to put in? What else? But Mr. Harned, for whom I cook, I mean, I'm not his slave, but he doesn't really like raw onion, although I have gotten him to eat now scallions, and in fact, I snuck in some very finely diced red onion in something he didn't care. But what I would do is I would use garlic. I prefer garlic anyway. So for a couple of tomatoes, a clove of garlic, finely minced, raw garlic, salt, as I said, pepper to taste, and an herb. Now, I don't always have a fresh herb in the refrigerator, and I rely on oregano. Especially for something like this. Oregano is the perfect herb anyway. So a big pinch of dried oregano. Now, I say a big pinch, but oregano varies in intensity from literally batch to batch. I don't usually buy it in a jar. Haven't in a long time, so I can't comment on that. But what I buy is usually Sicilian oregano on the branches, and then I just crush the branches in my hand and get the dry oregano. However, recently, my housekeeper, Irene, who is Mexican, had a visit from her mother in Puebla, and the mother brought with her all essentials that she hoped she wasn't sure she would find in New York, and one of them was a really large amount of Mexican oregano. So Irene gave me some, and I've been using that. It is much stronger. It has the same essential flavor as the Mediterranean oregano I buy, but it is much stronger, and I like it a lot.
So can I just say that on my back porch I have an herb box, and then I have somebody else's mother brought Mexican oregano, and I've got Mexican oregano, and I've done the same taste test, and I have to tell you, I'm put me on the Mexican oregano side.
Yeah, me too.
The other compared is sort of, shall I say, bland? Bland.
Wan is my word.
Yeah, not struck. But I've also struck it. It's just what happened. It's just a reminder of what things actually taste like in different parts of the world.
Yeah, in different parts of the world is right. Because I buy really good oregano from Sorrento, and it's just different. It's I don't want to say Juan, that's too negative a word, but it's more subtle.
This is just an interesting.
Anyway, dried oregano is a big friend of tomatoes.
Yes.
And you know, I'm bending, which is something I'm not supposed to do after this surgery, but I'm doing it anyway.
But you're bending anyway.
I only started bending anyway yesterday.
All right.
I dared bend. You know, I have under-the-counter refrigeration in my kitchen.
Yeah, I remember
it's usually not a problem at all, but it was a handicap in the last month. Anyway, back to diced tomatoes. So I put the diced tomatoes in a bowl, salt them a little bit. And by the way, so that's my, you know, what I would call tomato salad. It could be wedges of tomatoes, any way you want to cut your tomatoes, just with oil, salt, pepper, and oregano. Now, there are a lot of different chopped salads based on tomato, and the other one that I make pretty frequently is what in Turkish you would call çoban salatası. I once had to do a lecture on a cruise that we were going to Greece and Turkey, and I had to do a lecture on Turkish food, and what I realized in doing my research is that a lot of Turkish words are English words, or for that matter, French or German words, borrowed words, but written phonetically, because that's how the Turks write. They didn't get the Western Roman alphabet until the 1920s under Ataturk, and then they, you know, started writing their words phonetically with the Latin alphabet. So salatası is salad. Çoban is shepherd. So it's called shepherd's salad, and it's diced tomatoes, diced cucumber. This is a big difference with other tomato salads that I make. Diced cucumber. I like scallions in this, so sliced finely or on the diagonal scallions. And instead of oregano, for this I like dill and or parsley a lot. A lot of dill or parsley. Toss it all together. You can add additions of feta cheese. In fact, I have to laugh at that. I've been to Turkey several times. I never saw this salad served with a topping of feta, crumbled feta. However, here in Brooklyn, in the Turkish restaurants, frequented mainly by Russians and Ukrainians, they always ask you, do you want your salad topped with feta or not? And if you look at the table full of Russians and Ukrainians, they're all eating it with feta. So I don't think this is an original Turkish idea to put the feta on top. It's a salad. But if you want to make it like a whole deal, like even a main course, you can serve it with crumbled feta and olives. Look, and they not only taste good, but they look good. Any olive you like, I would say. So that's shepherd's salad.
So can I just
another diced
salad?
Tomato salad. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say shepherd's salad and dill salad. So what is this? All right. What is chopped tomatoes? Chopped tomatoes, chopped cucumber, feta, and olives, and olive oil, and whatever herb you want. What's that?
Sounds good. Is all I can say.
Okay, it's good. Okay. That's dill salad. That is why I
sounds good to me.
Perfect.
Now,
okay.
Yet another chopped salad based on tomatoes is the Mexican version, which is mostly, but not always, called pico de gallo, the beak of the rooster. Why it's called the beak of the rooster, nobody really knows, but one theory is that it used to be eaten with three fingers on the right hand, and you would peck, basically, into the salad and eat it. I don't know. But I do like it. And that's diced tomato, usually with onion. Could be red onion, could be a sweet onion is nice in here. I noticed Vidalias are in season, and they're on sale everywhere. So this is a good place for Vidalia onion or scallion and a chili pepper. Now, the easiest one is jalapeno, but I think traditionally it's more like serrano. But whatever chili pepper you have, like whatever, fresh, you could dice that into your tomato and onion dice, and it would be called pico de gallo. Oh, the herb would most likely be cilantro, coriander leaves. However, since in this house we don't really like coriander.
Or in this.
Pardon me? Or in your house, parsley is perfectly okay.
Okay.
A lot of parsley.
I think that Bob is my brother.
I think you're just too fussy.
Just destroying
anyway,
that idea.
Moving on here. So there are other, you know, million other tomato salads, but one of the traditional ones that I love to make is a bread salad with tomatoes. In Naples, this could be called caponata. Outside of Naples, they have to say caponata napolitana to differentiate it from the caponata siciliana, the Sicilian eggplant caponata, which is way more known than the Neapolitan caponata. The word itself, I don't want to get into the word itself. It's complicated. But what that is dried bread, which you buy in the store, although I have made some myself when lacking it from the store. But in the store or a bakery, it's called freselle, or could be called pane biscottato, which means twice baked bread, because after the bread is baked, it's sliced and then dried out in a low oven. And I've done it myself, but I have to say that the commercial versions are better than what I've done at home, mainly because the bread is so different. It's so hard to find bread here that you want to do that with. Anyway, you have to reconstitute the bread a bit, and you dip it in salt water. This dried, basically hard, what we call in English hard tack. You submerge it in some salt water and let it soak up some salt water, but not too much, because you don't want it soggy. And you put that on a platter, the slices of saltwater dipped bread, and on top of that you put your tomato salad. Now, this is a fisherman's dish, actually, and originally the fishermen would take this hardtack out to sea with them and dip it in the seawater and then put some raw fish on top. You can do that now that the world is into raw fish. However, what is really done is you put your nice, juicy, oily, maybe garlicky tomato salad on top of the bread, and then you garnish it with, let's say, canned tuna, capers, olives. It can be an extravaganza if you want it to be, or it can be very, very simple if you're just eating home alone. And then
if Marshall were here, it would be an extravaganza, and then chickpeas would get involved.
Well, you know what? It's sort of anything goes, I have to say.
Okay.
And if you look at, well, you won't be able to, but in Victorian-era cookbooks and actually travel logs, people describing what they saw in Naples, you'll find out that these things were made into towers of fish and vegetables and
okay.
Very extravagant. So it's called caponata. And the other really famous Italian tomato dish, and now it's run amok actually, is the insalata caprese, which is sliced tomatoes with the way it's presented mostly these days, sliced tomatoes, sliced mozzarella, fresh basil, oil, no vinegar, salt, pepper. However, nowadays I see this or that caprese. So now it's come to mean in the U.S., anything with mozzarella and tomato seems to be called caprese.
Really?
Not just the salad.
Okay.
And you were about to say, my dear?
I was just saying, really, and then this is why we do radio, at least this we, because we don't make... I said, really, and I made a face is what I did. Huh. So...
You don't like a caprese salad?
Let's do a quick time jump to, let's just say, afternoon, Italy. What is the caprese the same thing? In other words, is it presented the same way? Sliced tomato, piece of...
Oh, in Italy?
Yeah.
You know, these days it is.
Okay.
However, I wrote my book, Naples at Table...
A while ago.
So quite a while ago. And, you know, and I was traveling around in southern Italy quite a while ago. A caprese salad is now made everywhere, not just on the island of Capri,
right.
From where it originated. However, on the Isle of Capri, it is not always presented as sliced tomato and sliced mozzarella. It is sometimes much more decorative. And let's not forget that Capri is a real shishi place. So, of course, something simple like a sliced tomato and mozzarella salad might be transformed into something shishi like a tomato rose with mozzarella petals. I'm not exaggerating.
No, I understand, and that's one of the reasons. That's why I was asking because, you know, as things move, which is perfect, they do take on the tenor of the place arrived.
Well, actually, in this case, the tenor was been there for a couple hundred years.
Exactly. I just wanted to get back to you. Right. No,
I found, to my surprise, that people say that was the original presentation. The slicing is sort of like the lazy man presentation.
Exactly. But I am... If you know anything about me, it's that I'm all about that little reminder that, oh, yeah, this is the way it was, and this is what it's become.
Yeah.
But you need to know what it was.
If it's not, by the way, it was never made with buffalo mozzarella because they don't have buffalo mozzarella on the island of Capri. They have it on the mainland, but used to be, it wasn't so easy to get things off the mainland. Now they can get deliveries several times a day, probably. But, you know, it was made with the local cow's milk cheese, which in locally is called fior di latte, flower of milk. So it's mozzarella fior di latte. That is the real cheese. Anyway, enjoy your tomatoes, because now we're going to be flooded with tomatoes.
Right.
And nothing wrong with that. And I have a lot more things I do with fresh tomatoes, including making spaghetti sauce, but not cooked down. But we'll get into that another time.
Oh, that's a teaser. That's what they used to call in the trade, a teaser.
A teaser, right.
All right, well.
Everybody have a good tomato week. The weather is supposed to be sensational.
It is.
Yeah.
And have good tomato. Have a great, enjoyable, pleasant, happy, loving,
sun-filled week.
That is what I wish for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take care.
You too. Thank you very much, Arthur Schwartz, the food maven indeed, and Maverick on Robin Hood Radio.